Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? I saw the disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Shade of Truth. Hey, today marks a month that we've been operating this radio, this Blog Talk radio show that's awesome. I pray God continue to lead and guide us through this show and continue to touch those who are listening. Today I had a stressful day. Y'all know I like to get straight to the point. My day was so stressful, I didn't even get to write down my little stuff that I wanted to talk about, because I like reading from the paper, because I explain myself that in writing. But I'm going to just go from the heart. Today's topic is about how the past affects the future, like the good and the bad, the negative and the positive. And I guess I could start off by giving a little history of myself. Let's say, okay, I start off by saying, 5 years old, I was raped by a friend of the family, someone that was close in the family. I don't know why that just is so hard for me to say, but yeah. It didn't really affect me until I became a teenager. And even then, I didn't know it was affecting me. It didn't take for me to realize that it was affecting me until I, like, turned my life over to Christ willingly, not because my parents gave me back to Christ, but because I gave myself back to Christ. And that's when I sat down and really sat and reflect on why I did some of the stuff that I did back then, even in the past future, like present in my early 20s. Because that person took that control from me, it affected me in a bad way as far as my behavior towards myself. Like, I didn't know I wasn't loving myself because I was out here trying to have control of men and not knowing that they was actually having control of me because I was constantly giving myself to them. I lost my virginity willingly when I was probably about 15. Whatever. And that was like all fine and dandy. But once my mom found out, she took me to the doctor, whatever, the GYN. And that's when the GYN told me I had an STD called chlamydia. That was my first blessing right there. And I still didn't pay attention because chlamydia is a cure for it. Thank God. So that things like that kept happening to me over and over and over, like I didn't care if I was dealing with a guy and they made me mad, I'll go to the next guy. You know, it's like a drug, like sex became my drug, and I didn't know why, and I sat and questioned myself over and over, like, why am I, like, obsessed with sex? And it's because it was for me at an early age, and then I really didn't realize that it could affect you in a bad way. So press forward a little time, press forward. Go to my family, go to your parents. My dad was there in my life when I was younger, but he wasn't really a father. He didn't teach me anything. Like, I learned from experience. I learned from witnessing stuff. And what I saw my dad do, I started doing it myself. Like, my dad talked to multiple girls, so I talked to multiple guys. Like, I'm thinking that's how it's supposed to be. My dad got in a marriage, and he had a girlfriend on the side. So I end up all a victim talking to a guy who had a girlfriend. So I end up on the side. Like, my uncles, my cousins, none of them was, like, faithful people. So it's all what I'm exposed to. Like, this is all in my past, and I'm going to let it affect me as a person and for my future. So the last relationship that I had, I guess God was ready for me to snap out of it. Like, it was one of the toughest relationships I was in for 4 years. And you know, at that point, in the midst of that relationship, that's when I broke it off and I got into God spiritually and whatever. And then once I started to really try to find myself and really love myself, not just physically, but internally and mentally love myself. And when you start to love yourself, this actually goes back to what Empress was talking about last night. When you actually love yourself, you cut off some of the things that you used to do. So it makes you become this, well, it appears that you become this selfish person. And it's not really about you being selfish. It's about you doing the things that you didn't do before. But the things that you do now is really beneficial to you, as far as like cutting off those people that you allowed to affect you. Like, it wasn't their fault. Cutting off those cutting off the speaker that you would go to when you need to feel like avoid, like getting out of those terrible relationships. Then you press fast forward, like you feel that you heal, you feel that you're that, and then you get into a new relationship. So you don't went through all this heartbreak, all this backstabbing, unloyalty, disrespectfulness, people limiting you, and so forth. Like you deal with all this in a past relationship, and you feel like you're healed after so long, so you start a new relationship. So when you get in this new relationship, you're like, okay, I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to take that. I'm going to learn from my past. Like, I'm going to let my past make me a better person. I'm not going to let my past bring me down. So when you get in this new relationship, you be defensive in a way of loving yourself because you know what you went through before, so you don't want to go through the same thing again. But then the person you're with don't quite understand that. Because they take it as if you're being selfish. Like, for instance, today I had an incident, like, with my friend guy. He feel as though I was being, like, selfish because I'm telling him, like, I need details. I need details. Like, if you're going somewhere and you going somewhere with your child mother or whatever, like to celebrate her birthday, I just feel that I need details. And I guess that does come from my past. It's like, but am I wrong for asking for details? Because when I didn't ask, that's when I didn't know, and just all type of stuff happened. And I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. But in a sense, I keep myself, like, I made a commitment to myself just to not have sex, to not have sex. And it's funny when I told him that, listen, I'm really committing myself to this not having sex thing, like this celibacy thing, until I'm married. And his response was like, you're only having sex with me and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's not even about just having sex with you. Like, I'm proud of myself because I came a long way, but you don't know what I came from. You don't know what I did. You don't know what I put myself through. So I'm even being selfish when it comes to that. Like, men just don't understand when it comes to a woman, like, trying to understand herself and trying to gain this respect and this self-love for herself, because we all go through things in life that find its way to our future, and it's up to us how we allow it to affect our future. We can let it, like I said, it could be positive or it could be negative, but to me, this whole situation, I feel like I'm being positive about it because I'm not letting anyone take advantage of me. Like, I'm not letting anyone just use me or get over on me. And if that takes me saying no to some stuff that I would have normally said yes to, and if you call it being selfish, then that's on you. And then you have another scenario with the past being negative. Like one of my mentees, I had a talk with her. And her mom was like, it's come to parenting. Her mom was like abused, her mom was abused by her mom physically, and she didn't really, her dad passed or something like that. So now she don't have a good relationship with her family. So she have these two young girls, two teenagers, that she don't show no love to. Like, she's actually abusing them, but not physically. She's, like, neglecting them of love, of nurture and stuff. She provides to them food, and she provides to them shelter, which we all need. But kids need to have that normalcy of, like, of being a kid. Just simply being a kid. And because the mom has issues from her past, taking it on, it's affected the kids in a bad way. And then the kids, it's going to affect them in a way that they behave. Like, the mom has this boyfriend. Apparently, the mom is looking for love in all the wrong places. The mom has this boyfriend, and she put the man before she put her kids. Like, and she gave the man the permission to upset her kids, to tell her kids what to do, and so forth. Like, she tell them she don't like to go out with them. She don't like to do this. She just make them stay in the house. So I asked the girl, I'm like, your mom treating you like this because she got this boyfriend. So why you think she's trying to hang on to this boyfriend for, like, so tight? I didn't have to say anything, and she said because she's looking for love, like, she want that love. So in that sense, the past, you never deal with the things that you went through in the past, and that can affect you in a negative way. But I want to open up the floor to see for someone to share their experience of past situations that affected them, if it's in a positive way or a negative way. You guys can just press one just to give comment and feedback on what it is. Hello.
What's going on, Faith?
Hi.
How you doing out there? Sorry to hear that. So what you going in on? You re-elaborate?
About how the past affect your future, whether it's a positive way or a negative way.
My past, it goes balance, you know, it's like a balance. So you have the good and you have the bad. And it's your experience that I am. Which one would I would like to share? Would I would like to share the good? Would I would like to share the bad? As far as me, like, growing up with me, I really never had too much of a family. Like, you know, I had a family, but I never had, like, close to my family. So, basically, you know, growing up, my grandma basically used to raise us. And my mom used to be at work, and my dad used to be gone as well. So my grandma used to, you know, raise us. We used to go to grandma's house. So once grandma died, you know, everybody stopped going to grandma's house. So that kind of, you know, and everybody just, you know, just died. I don't know. It's like our family just died off. You know, we speaking every now and then. We never had a family reunion. So basically, like I said, I never had a family, my own little, you know, family. I had other family, but I always had other families that had great family. You know, I came from great families, being that I did not have a family, but I had friends that had families that had great families. You know, I had a family that, you know, with families that had family reunions and families that went out and, you know, with each other and just had a great time and just enjoyed each other. So that was fun growing up for me. So that was great for me in my past, but it kind of hindered me in my future right now because, like, you know, I'm suffering from family. You know, I want my family to get together. I want my own family. I want to see that for my own family. You know, I want to see my family get together like other people's family. You know, and experience those things growing up now because we do have a great bond. Anytime we get together, our family get together, we have a great time. But it's like we never get together. The only time we get together is like a death in the family or maybe that's about it. You know what I mean? That's about it. That's in the family, and it got to be some immediate death, like grandma, you know. But other than that, we really didn't have nobody. So I came from a really little family because two brothers married two sisters. So that cut everybody off right there. they just cut the family short right there. It was like, you know what? We got to keep it in the family. So, man, that's what they did. Two brothers married two sisters. So, you know,
two brothers married.
Me and my sister married John and his brother.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, that's what happened with me. So now I'm at the, it's suffering. I'm like kind of stuff because I want that family. I would love to have family gatherings and be around my family and kick it, have things go down like that. But you know, like other than just growing up with my grandma and not even being free, because obviously if I was able to go to my friend's house and really be to my friend's house that much, I was very free. You know, I really wasn't limited to my space as growing up. So that kind of was a good thing and a bad thing as well, because my freedom got me into a lot of trouble on the streets. You know, and I still did what I wanted to do because I had just that much freedom to do what I wanted to do. So it was like, you know, I didn't have I didn't have my family. I mean, my own little family house to go to. I had everybody else's family. I know everybody. You know, everybody loved me. You know, so it's like it's not no place I can't go. It's not no places like nowhere. But at the same time, I get myself in trouble just going wherever I want to go, wherever I'm welcome at. You know, and that got to be that's another thing too. Just being going where you're welcome at. But at the same time, you know. You're not, you know, you don't supposed to be there. You're welcome there, but you know you don't supposed to be there. You know, like situations like that. So I mean, that kind of, you know, had an effect on my future. But now that I know better, I do better now. You know, I don't go to different places that I know I can go to just because I can go to those places now. You know, I limit that to just, you know, one spot at a time. Well, not even just thinking to myself, you know. Like I say, right now, I'm yearning for family love. So I'm looking for, I want my family to come around. I'm looking for some type of affectionate love around here. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm cool with, you know, with my life and how it's going now. I realize my mistakes and I change them and I accept them, you know, and I go into the next phase of my life.
I think we have 3903.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say that my past, it kind of had like a negative and a positive. From what I was understanding at growing up, I thought it was a positive type of toll that it had on me, but then as I got older, I realized it was negative. Just to share a little bit, I grew up in a household with me, my mom, my brother, and my stepfather. My stepfather was very controlling and abusive towards my mother. So me being a young girl watching it kind of made me stronger in a sense, but it made me more defensive. So I didn't take any crap from men when I started dating them. But I didn't realize that all it was doing was kind of making me more vulnerable for looking for love in the wrong places.
That's so crazy, right?
Right.
That's
so
crazy.
I could say, I used to say, oh, it made me stronger, it made me this, it made me that. But sometimes, you know, I think I'm too strong. And then when I'm too strong, it's like I don't know how to be, you know, affectionate like I should be, or, you know, take the woman's role and let a man lead. So it kind of affect me in that type of way. And then not having my real father in my life, I used to think that, you know, luckily I wasn't one to go out looking for a figure in men. But now it's like I'm scared to even trust men because I've seen how my father wasn't there for me. And even now, me being in my 30s, I still long for my father and he's not around. So I kind of feel you when you say it could be positive or it could be negative. And it's one of those things where we just need to find a balance. And I think that's when, you know, spiritual growth comes into play, where we have to learn to take everything that may seem bad to us and find the good in it. So I think that's one of those things that, you know, with God and with, you know, guidance and and, you know, just continue to focus on him, I think that he will direct our path and he will show us those things, even though it may be hard, you know,
How can you begin to even find the balance, like, if you don't always see?
I think what we used to do, we have to change those surroundings, you know what I'm saying? Like, places we used to go, we can't go to those places. It's all about, you know, our focus. Like, I had to completely cut out places I was going, people I was hanging around. You know, I had to completely cut all that around. And somewhat, I became a loner at times, but I had to do that so I could focus on me, because sometimes we get influenced by our surroundings and the people around us, and which makes it hard for us to find that balance.
It's true.
But then that's where people come in and feel like you're being selfish.
Trust me, I'm going through that now.
Yeah,
it's a struggle, but if that's what we want to do, we got to stick to it, and we got to find whichever way possible to do, because we know in the long run what we want, and we know what God has for us.
Right.
I mean, that's a constant battle. That's like what Anthony told you. What you said, I don't want to give away my
Huh?
I don't want to give away your
intimate part?
Yeah.
I said most women are intimate with their heart when guys are more intimate with their private. They don't understand what we go through, even as far as the feeling. For us, it's sometimes a painful feeling, but for them, it's not. You get what I'm saying? They don't see it how we see it.
Right.
They don't feel how we feel. So if you look at it, a lot of men, I was telling my guy friend earlier today, I was like, a lot of men lose their virginity before women because of the simple fact that it don't bother them, you know. But for us, sometimes it's a heart and it's a mind thing. For them, it's just a go thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're more emotional creatures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put up on my Facebook one time, you know, are you willing to say no more sex until you're married? And a lot of people were saying no, and not one person said yes. And I was just like, wow, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah, that's just crazy. And it's just the whole thing of your mind. Like, you can't just, that's simple. Like, you will make it hard. People say, no, I can't do that. And this and that, but you can make it hard. If you say no, and especially if it's something, you know, you really want, especially marriage, like most people want marriage, but they don't really want it, because if you really want it, you'll be preparing yourself for it. You know, you'll be manifesting that, what you want, you know, faking it till you make it, or however they say it, you know, it's like that's what you'll be doing. And it's, instead of just giving yourself away and just, giving these men these great qualities that you have about yourself, just giving them away, you would be, you know, saving them, you know, and sharpening them on your own time, on your lonesome, you know, cook for your family, get your cooking skills up, you know, clean up your mama, you know, go clean up your mama's house, you know, you got a girl that like to clean, you know, do something for yourself that you know you feel good about. You be like, boy, when he comes, he gonna be happy, you know, and just be preparing yourself for him to come along. It's like we're not even preparing ourselves for them to come along. We just saying that's what we want, and just that's what we want, and just doing what we want to do. Like when he come along, he gonna know for sure that he got him a keeper. Now you gonna tell this
that's
man
right.
You've been celibate for almost 10 years.
Franklin was celibate for 10 years.
For 10 years, golly, no, I am serious, but I'm being very. That's funny to me because it's like, damn, what that shit be? Hey, but 10 years, you know what I'm saying? You tell somebody that, you know, they gonna really want you. They gonna want you bad, and they gonna do whatever. And when they do, I say do whatever. They gonna do whatever. You want that person to make you feel good, give you chills, like, oh my God, not that crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? But you want that real, that feeling. You know what I'm saying? You want that feeling. You don't want that mental. You want that feeling that you know. You ain't gotta tell you he love you. You feel it. You feel that tense. You feel that that feel. Oh no, it's a feeling that you just feel. It's a feeling. So they don't even got to tell you love. You just know they love you. You know what I mean? And it's just that real. People don't trust in themselves. You know, they got to trust in themselves, believe in themselves, know what they want to stick to it.
Right.
Yep, stick to it, man. Stick to it.
I don't know if they want to say something. Or press one if you do.
That's cool, too. But, you know, I was trying to
hold on.
Think,
hold on.
Say it again.
1458. Hello, how everybody doing?
Hello, how you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
I was just sitting here listening and everything regarding everybody, you know, with the comments and stuff. And the past for me, my past affected me when I started dating someone that reminded me of my first husband. And I didn't realize it until I was in the relationship. That's the only reason why I was dating him. But that means I never closed the door on my first marriage.
Wow.
He reminded me so much of him. Me and my children got along well with him as if he was my kid's father. And I told him, I finally told him because I was, and I said it to myself, this is crazy. This
so
man reminded me so much of my husband.
Was that good for you?
No.
Or was that bad for you?
That was not good for me at all. That was not good at all. Because my first husband, I divorced him because he tried to kill us. So listen to what I'm saying. I divorced the paperwork. I've divorced him through paperwork, but I never divorced him out of my heart.
Oh.
That's how I ended up with somebody that reminded me so much of him. There was he down to the man's fingernails and toenails, they was just like his.
Oh.
I kid you not. That tripped me out when I realized. I was like, why I love this man here so much? What is it about him? And I started evaluating why. And I kept looking at him, and everything about him reminded me of him. How my ex-husband used to wear the braids going back. He used to wear his hair braided going back the same way, with slender build just like him.
Well,
he just reminded me so much of him, too. It wasn't funny. So I had to admit to myself that I never got over him. I never closed the door to that, even though I divorced him. That's how so easily your past can't affect your future if you're not careful. And that's why most of the time, most people, when they get out of a relationship, that particularly men, they always pick a woman that reminds them of a woman they had before that they didn't want to get past. They couldn't get over.
But what about when it's the opposite, and then it's like you just going for it just because it's not the same, but it still end up wrong.
Wait, say that again?
Like it's the total opposite.
Hold on.
It's the total opposite for you? Hold on. I'm saying, like, what if it's the total, like, opposite? Like, you were so, I'm saying you were so hurt by that person. So when you get out of their relationship, you go date somebody else, the total opposite of him. Like for me, for instance, when I got out of that long relationship, I didn't want nobody that was about to do nothing for me because I was, like, afraid they was going to keep doing what you did for me. I wanted somebody that was, like, it's not like my ex. But that made me vulnerable, and that made me accept just anybody, like, just the inch of difference of a person that was not like him. And that's what happened to me, and I moved so fast, like, thinking, okay, yeah, this is the one for me. Like, I could do for myself, he ain't trying to, it's not about money, it's not about this and whatever. And then that got me into trouble because I was, like I said, I was vulnerable, and that got me into the bed faster with this guy than it did with my ex because I'm coming out of, first of all, too soon, let's just say that, but... You be so damaged to the point you just want to feel something different. Like, you want something different, and that's how bad the past can, like, affect your future, your present, and your right now. Like, that just took a whole toll on me because not only did I move so fast with this guy because I wanted something different, I end up doing stuff like I never thought I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I just can't figure out the balance of, like choosing a man. And I guess that goes in. I'm hollow at it, obviously.
But and see, this the thing about that is that, remember, God created man to hunt for us. We done turned the role around. We hunt for them. We hunt for them instead of them doing the hunting. Men don't have no reason to do anything now. Because know why? We lay everything out for them. It's like you just bring them into a night. You invite them into the house. You done cook dinner. You done laid out the spread. And that's what we do. We lay out our lives like a spread to them. We just hand over all our power, all of our everything to them. And they're not prepared for that because no one.
You said something good. We hand all our power to them. And that's something
we do. We hand everything
to them. The power that we hold, like we just don't know the power that we hold.
Exactly. And we hand everything to them, and they're not prepared for it. So guess what? They're already damaged. So, and then you still damaged, and then it's going to be more damage on top of the damage.
Right.
And see, the thing about this thing here, because the men got to go back to the maker, the creator of us, and to learn about us. Because they're not going back to God to find out how to treat a woman and what a woman's role is, how God created us. This is why they're damaging us more. And we have to go to God, back to the creator, how he created men, to find out what's their purpose here. I mean, not their purpose. Why did he create them to behave, act the way they do, and to think the way they do? And once we go back to the creator, we'll find out, you know, how to operate this product. In other words, like if somebody created a product and they put instructions in the box, where are you going to go back to learn how to put this thing together? You're going to go back to the instruction because the person who made the product left you an instruction on how to put it together.
Right.
They know how it works. They know how it works. So that's the same thing. We need to go back to God and find out when we meet a dude. Because me personally, what I do, I say, okay, I met him. I said, he real fine too, Jesus. I said, but check this out, Holy Spirit. Who is this dude here? I said, because I don't know him. You know him. I don't know this nigga. I said, please don't let me go in with my eyes wide shut, meaning my eyes open, but they're shut to the fact of this not your best for me.
Exactly.
I said, if he's not for me, get rid of him. So I won't have to do it. I'm leaving it up to you. And a lot of times when I do that, they stop calling because they don't be for me. They don't be God's best for me. I don't never have to tell them stop calling. They just stop calling because I consult with the Holy Spirit real quick and I say, because please, before I fall by the wayside, this dude is fine as hell, Jesus. I'm gonna need you. The hook us up to tell me who is this? Holy Spirit, please, real quick now. Don't let me bat my eyes too fast and bat them to where I'm covering up who he really is.
And
because we want love so bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we want love so bad, we become open to somebody who we think is God's best for us.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not showing you. Even though the guy was not showing you anything that the previous one was, or eventually it was going to come. And that's why now I met a dude. Let me tell you what I told this dude. He asked me to go out 4 times. I said, uh-uh. He had to go on my terms. I was not going on his terms. So the 5th time, I texted him, and I set up the date, and he had to come near my house. And when we sat down, we was at dinner and everything. And so I said, well, if you plan on dating me, this is the deal. You're going to have to court me with your wife, dude.
Oh, I know that's right.
I need to get
you. I said, you're going to have to court me without wife duties. And I said, and I'm not having sex. And we ain't kissing. We ain't hugging. We ain't doing anything that's going to lead to the bedroom because I could get you in the bedroom without, you know, on my own. So, but we're not going to do any of that. I said, but if you want me, you're going to have to pursue me and you're going to have to court me. That's just the deal.
But you know
that's what
the
it
problem
is
with that? A lot of these women are not, the women not holding men up to that no more. So they feel like they could get it free. So they, even when they get somebody like that, they're like, oh, we ain't finna work that hard. We ain't finna do that. We going to somebody who's not doing that.
And I done ran into several of them like that. I tell them, I said, buy a piece. Go to the free store. Because this is not a buffet here.
People don't even know what
party
is anymore.
This is not a restaurant. Mm-mm. They don't even know what courtship means, first of all. When you bring it to them, they be like, what's that? I said, well, then you ain't him. When they tell me that, I said, you ain't him. Goodbye. You know him.
We just found out what that was a few weeks ago. That's part of my problem.
A lot of boyfriends expect wifely duties from girlfriends, and girlfriends expect husband duties from boyfriends. Like, they get
exactly my point. That's why I told him, I'm not doing nothing pertaining to a wife, and you're not going to do nothing for me pertaining to a husband. No, 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 because I don't want nobody getting confused.
But how do you get to that point? Like, if you're building on something?
Well, as far as a relationship, the intimacy part of a courtship is spending time together. You don't have to have sex because the intimacy is that you're going to see into him, he's going to see into you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's real, because you don't have to have sex to see into a person, and you don't have to go around trying to find out stuff about them, because if you're paying them attention, the man is going to tell you what time it is with him. All you got to do is listen to what he's saying. Men don't go all off course like we do. They go straight to the point.
Uh-huh.
We got to tell a whole book. No, they got one half a chapter.
I'm
I want to have a time to get to the point. They tell you what they want, and if you're not listening, you're going to miss it. Most men are not direct because they're not talkers. So you have to really kind of like make them talk. You don't have to make them, but certain things you say to them would strike up the conversation to get it out of them. You got to like kind of like say certain things and like, well, how do you feel about this? Or how do you feel about that? You know, because I'll be asking about like a million questions. I'll be like, when the last time you had sex? And when they say 30 days, I say, oh, child, you still connected to her. I don't want you.
Uh-huh.
I do. I said, because she's coming back. I said, you're going to go back to her because y'all got bonded. And they be like, what? I said, what? And they asked me, I said, you read your Bible? They said, yeah. I said, well, then going on to, it's a chapter in the Bible talk about sex all the time, the Song of Solomon.
No, yeah.
Solomon,
I have a book
down. It's off the chain.
Yeah.
That book is off the chain. That's why I told them, niggas, y'all ain't doing nothing. Read the Song of Solomon and tell me what's happening. I said, because there wasn't no game in the book of Song of Solomon. I said, please, he talked about oral sex and all.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so what y'all talking about is real old news. See, I guess because I'm older, but see, when I was y'all age, I wasn't thinking like this because you know why? I didn't have nobody to tell me anything. I just went on lost, wandering around like a sheep. I was wandering around. You know, sheep's are lost animals. They got to have somebody out there to take them straight and narrow way. But I was lost like a sheep, just wandering around, trying to figure out. Am I worthy of anything? Am I valuable? I was trying to figure that out for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
And the way I am, it doesn't come overnight.
I'm still trying to get it right.
It's going to take
like
some time.
40
That's
seconds
okay.
Left, or 20 seconds.
It's okay. It's going to take time. It's going to take some time, but you just stick to the word of God. If you, I mean, when you get into a situation, you find you a good scripture and put it in your pocket. And if you so weak, you can't remember, pull it out your pocket and start reading that thing out loud. Ooh, this body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, but Jesus is so fine. Yeah, so just do it like that.
I want to call the hang up on y'all.
Okay.
But thank everybody for, I think they hung up.